You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Renee Luna Bebeau. Luna, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's begin with what you're working on now. I want to kind of go through your work, but tell me a little bit about what's on your plate at this very moment or in the near future.
Well, it's summertime now, and that's when I do a lot of festivals and events with my henna artwork. And henna is a temporary tattoo stain, mostly popular in India for weddings. But, of course, it's popular everywhere now. And so I'm very busy doing that. There's so many festivals around Milwaukee right now, and it's a great opportunity for me to meet the community and to have these intimate moments with these people as I decorate their bodies and they take my art with them, and it slowly fades away.
So let's talk a little bit about that, and we can move on to other things, but that's pretty exciting. You're doing that not just in Milwaukee, but you travel around doing that, right? And you've done it I thought it was actually Washington Square Park, but most of your scheduled events coming up are throughout Milwaukee, or are you traveling to other states?
They are throughout Milwaukee, but anywhere I travel, I will bring my henna and do henna everywhere on people that I see there. But I haven't traveled too far for shows. No, I kind of stay around the area. There's so many here that I really don't have to go too far. This past weekend, I was at the Museum of Wisconsin Art, which is in West Bend, about 45 minutes from my home. And it's a beautiful festival at the museum.
So let's talk about that a little bit and what exactly you're doing, because, of course, there's a tradition to the henna, as you're saying, and some of your patterns look like they draw from that, but some of them also depart from that, right? There's a...
Correct.
I don't know what you call that kind of patterning that seems so specific to traditional henna, but you've done things that border on tattoos and beyond, and using looks like kind of pearlescent or different kinds of material. So can you talk a little about that? I mean, how did you learn it, and did you learn it and then in a traditional way and then depart from it and began making all these other kind of forms and shapes?
Well, I used to, back in 98, 99, I owned a tattoo shop with my ex-boyfriend now, and a henna artist from Chicago showed up and wanted to do henna in our shop, and I, at that point, I had never ever heard of henna or really didn't know anything about it, so he taught me everything about it, and at the time, I really did want to do permanent tattooing, but once I learned henna, that was it for me, so... Actually, henna found me, which is a sweet thing, you know. And then I started with, he taught me traditional designs. There's certain moves that everyone does with the henna artist, you know. We look at traditional designs from India and places like that. But because I'm an artist myself and I'm a painter and other things, I always have to put my spin on it. I have a hard time keeping with the traditional designs. Plus, I also feel like making it my own is more honest, you know, and adding my own flair in there. And the pearlescence you see is actually glitter. You just sprinkle glitter onto the henna while it's wet, and it gives it that look, and it's really fun at a festival. Lots of people like that. But that fade, that just goes away with the paste. So you apply the paste to the skin. It sits for an hour or longer, and it stains the skin everywhere it's sitting, and then you take the paste off, and you have this stain, which darkens over the next 48 hours, and then it lasts for about a week to 10 days. And so people ask for requests of animals or, you know, different kinds of flowers, and I like that as inspiration. But I'm always drawing designs and coming up with new things, being inspired by other henna artists on Instagram and such like that. So it just evolves all the time. I do an original design on everyone each time. I don't have set designs that I fall back on.
So that's so interesting. It must be exciting to be kind of working with people. And now I see its relationship to tattoos as well in terms of how you approached it. When you're working with people, especially in festivals, this looks like it's enormously time consuming. I've never had anybody do henna on me, so I don't know. But it
I need
looks
to come
like
and henna you.
Yeah, I'd love that. How long does it take? Is it like half an hour, an hour? It looks like something at a festival. People would be lining up, or that it would be.
They do. They do line up, and no, each tattoo, only each henna takes about 5 minutes, 5 to 7, 8 minutes. I mean, I just did a festival called Bastille Days in Milwaukee. It's a French festival, and there were four of us there, and I literally had four 12 to 14 hour days doing henna the entire time. And you need to go fast because, like you said, people are waiting in line. It goes real fast. It's like a cake decorating type of thing, if you've ever seen that happen. It's the henna is in a cone, which is wrapped with like a Mylar plastic. It's got a nice fine tip, and it's easily held in the hand, and it's easy to, you have to squeeze the paste out as you draw, but it's really easy to do. And since I've been doing it for 20 years, it flows very quickly. Everyone is always astounded by the quickness of it, but at this point, that's what you want, you know.
Right. And so how is this fitting into your overall practice? Of course, this is, you know, both kind of social practice, you can say, and painting and interactive. How has it affected the other work that you're doing? Because you work in other mediums.
The other thing I've been painting is pictures of my compost. So I'm a big composter, and I really love this whole process. And I've been staring at the food scraps in the glass container in my kitchen where I keep them. And I just always thought it was so beautiful. And so one day I just painted like a portrait of the container. It was kind of like a brandy snifter, like a big one, full of colors and shapes, looks like a trifle almost. And I just thought it was beautiful. And even though these scraps are ready for the bin, you know, they're so full of life and vitality. So I started doing oil paintings, then I moved on to acrylic. Lately I've been working more with watercolor because I feel like it really does work with the actual thing that I'm painting, because it's breaking down, it's mushing together. And with watercolor, you can get that effect. But so because of the temporary nature of henna, I feel like the compost is also temporary and transformational and shifting, that they kind of go together that way. Or it seems like, that's why I'm there doing that. Of course, my name is Renee, and it means rebirth. And almost anything that I'm working on has some kind of aspect to that. Transformation.
But also, Luna, I mean, I'm addressing you in the interview as Luna, and that's a name you use for your art. How does that, you know, dovetail with, right, Renee's rebirth? That's really interesting. But Luna, which is your artistic name and how I referred to in the opening of the interview, how did that come about?
So Luna, I was born in 69 when they landed on the moon. So I feel like that's a little bit comes from that. I gave myself that name as a spiritual name long ago, and I feel like Luna is the one who makes the paintings and does the art. I do enjoy and appreciate and love my given name, and my family gave me that name, French-Canadian, but no one really, none of my family really supported me in my art career. So not that they were against it, but they just didn't think it would be a good choice, you know? And now that I'm 50 years old and I'm finally in my career that I really, really always wanted, I don't know, I just signed my paintings Luna because I feel like Luna is the spirit that makes the art, that made me the artist. But Renee definitely, and the rebirthing, you know, energy is all part of it too.
Well, this is a pretty big year for you then, Luna, right?
Yes.
I mean, where this is like the moon year. That's all I'm
thinking
about. And everyone's rethinking what that means and
why
we're not there more. And,
right, and how they want to go back. And I'm actually, next weekend, I have a a festival called Under One Moon, and it's happening in Third Ward, which is a really beautiful neighborhood in Milwaukee, and they're celebrating the moon landing, and there's this big, giant, inflatable moon that they will hang in Catalina Square, and it's going to be lit up with NASA images of the moon, and I get to henna people for 2 hours, and then I'm doing a henna performance where I have a model, and I'm going to try to henna her entire body, and moons will obviously be my theme. So I'm really excited about that. It is all coming together in this 50th year for me, and I love it.
Wow, that's cool. So to talk about that for a minute, to henna an entire body, that seems like it would take hours. But, I mean, I'm not familiar
and it
with
will.
The process. So
yes.
It will.
Yes, it will. I'm scheduled. I have from, like, 2 to 8, so I'll have 6 hours. I'm not sure how long it'll take, but like I can do an entire arm in maybe 45 minutes to an hour. So, you know, each arm, each leg, but then I want to do her back, her chest, everywhere that's exposed. I'm going to have different cones that are cut to different sizes. So some I'll be able to use more thickly and cover more, and some I'll do detailed. I'm not really sure exactly. I'm going to let it flow. I'll have some designs to inspire me, but again, it's going to be an original piece.
And
I've always wanted to do this.
People, yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to see an image of that. So, I
sure.
mean, working with people, as you said, it's there's also, as opposed to the artist working in their studio and selling work or not, there's an intimacy to this. You're working
sure.
on people's bodies, and I imagine you're, which I suppose is similar to tattooing. I don't know, but
yes.
there's an intimacy. So is there also conversation there? Like what happens there? That's such a social aspect to it.
It's really sweet. I mean, especially at a festival where it's very lively and exciting and there's lots going on, lots of music usually loud, and then people come into my tent. I make an oasis with lots of fabric and, you know, wanting that genie in a bottle feeling so people can get out of the heat and out of all that activity and have this quiet moment. But I do have really sweet conversations with people. You know, I'm just touching them slightly and lightly. It's gentle. And there's lavender oil in the paste, so it's very relaxing. Everyone always notices the smell. And actually, I went to beauty school right after high school, and I was a hairdresser for 25 years. So touching people is natural to me, touching their hair, their nails. I used to do palm reading and things like that. So I'm kind of this natural counselor, and people will just tell me things. They feel comfortable, and they just tell me things. So, yeah, a lot can happen in a five-minute henna experience.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And so what's in the future? You're doing these festivals coming up, and all of this takes place in Milwaukee, or are you traveling
yes.
at all?
Yep, all in Milwaukee, mostly. I'm also, besides that, I'm planning, I'm the organizer and curator of the Pfister Holiday Marketplace, which is a holiday show that happens in the historic hotel downtown, the Pfister. And this is our 5th year. And so I gather all mostly local artists who make handmade things, and we have a show. And, of course, I sell my work, too, but I organize it. So that I'm while I'm doing henna and while I'm doing while I'm painting in the studio, I'm organizing that, and that's sort of my way of connecting with the community, you know, and other artists. I really love that part, too. So that's going to start to take up some of my time, for sure.
Well, that's exciting. There's of course, links to, in the interview here for anybody listening, all the events coming up from your website so people can attend them and
great.
Hopefully get a chance to be hennaed by you, and
yes.
is that what you'd say? Is that
hennaed?
To be
sure.
Hennaed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Luna, I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious.
Okay, so I've been reading How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, and also a new book that my friend Ben Califf just gave me. It's Organomics, an epigenetic reframing of consciousness, life, and evolution. So it's about the brain and functions of the brain. I've been studying a lot about that lately. I've been listening to Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza, Bob Proctor, these guys teaching me about functions of the brain and how we can actually use more of our brain and intentional with our thoughts and create what we want in life. So I'm really interested in all that, the science
of
it.
Thank you, Luna. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today. I wish you well on the continuation of your summer and everything that you're working on.
Thank you so much. Thanks for interviewing me. This was really nice.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.